You know teriyaki, right? Mounds of pillowy white rice, chicken smothered in sweet brown sticky sauce, and a side of iceberg lettuce. Pass by any strip mall or street corner in the Seattle area, you'll probably see a teriyaki restaurant. But it might not always be that way. Writer Naomi Tomke says Seattle's teriyaki joints are disappearing, which is costing us a uniquely local institution. Tomke says the teriyaki entree was invented here, something she didn't realize until 2007 when she read a Seattle Weekly article chronicling teriyaki history.
I decided I wanted to do some more research and write my own history of it as a native, as somebody who grew up eating it, as somebody whose high school lunches were at Yasuko's on Broadway. And as I started to look into it, Yasuko's on Broadway had just closed either earlier this year or the end of last year. And as I looked at the numbers and looked at where teriyaki was going, it became not so much a history of teriyaki, but a story about teriyaki and where it is now, which is declining.
Where are we seeing the biggest teriyaki losses?
I mean, it's everywhere that there's a lot of new construction. So Yasuko's closed on Broadway, where you have the streetcar coming in and all of these new construction buildings. I think Ballard is another big one where you have a lot of big new construction condo buildings going in. A lot of what teriyaki is these small little hole in the walls. And so as those disappear from the city, from the landscape in general, that's where we're losing the teriyaki shops.
You suggested that teriyaki places are closing with all the newcomers, but what's the connection? Why are teriyaki places less popular, if they are, or just less numerous?
So I think it's twofold. One is that teriyaki isn't like it is in Seattle anywhere else. So people aren't coming in here and saying, hey, I really miss my teriyaki shop back home. Where can I find my local teriyaki shop here the way they might for a taco shop or for an Italian restaurant, a pizza place, even a hot dog? They have their places at home and now they want to find their Seattle replacement. Well, teriyaki doesn't exist like this anywhere else. So they're not going to be looking for that replacement. The other piece of that is that teriyaki restaurants are a little bit not necessarily hidden, but they're not appealing. They don't have a lot of curb appeal. Knut Berger mentioned in the New York Times article, if you're a newcomer to the city and you walk down a block and there's an Ethan Stoll pizza restaurant and, you know, a Tom Douglas restaurant, and then there's a hole-in-the-wall teriyaki shop, and you have the means to pay for that pizza or at the Tom Douglas restaurant, you're not going to choose the teriyaki shop. It's probably dingy. There's probably sauce stains on the walls.
Why is that, though? Why aren't teriyaki places fancy? Why are they holes in the wall?
Well, because part of the appeal of teriyaki is that it is eminently affordable. I always use the example of dollar rice, which Yasuko's on Broadway served when I was in high school. And we would pay $1 and they would give you a styrofoam container just full of the rice from the teriyaki shop and then with the sauce on top. And it had some little bits of meat. But it was $1 and it was enough rice to last at least two meals. And we as high school students thought that was a great deal for lunch. It was probably the only thing that cost as little as school lunch. But, you know, the people who lived on the street on Broadway wanted a $1 meal, too. The people who were college students at Seattle U did.
And even the full-on chicken meals are big portions.
They're probably, you know, $5 to $10 and at least two meals worth of food. And so I think that's a big part of, you know, if you can afford something else, that's not where you're going to go. But if that's all you can afford, it really kind of occupies a place in your heart.
You said people who come here didn't have teriyaki back home. It was kind of reinvented here. What's the teriyaki story of Seattle?
Yeah. So Toshi, who you've seen his name on signs everywhere.
Many, many stores.
So he basically invented what we think in Seattle of as teriyaki. Teriyaki is a sauce that they use in Japan. It's mostly used on fish. It's like a post-grilling glaze. He came to Seattle after he finished school in Portland. He'd come from Japan to wrestle in Portland, and all his friends owned restaurants, and he wanted one too, but he didn't want to have to deal with managing people and worrying about everybody showing up to work and what would he do if someone didn't come. So he wanted to make something that he could do on his own. So he took this sort of inspiration from Japan and made it into this marinated grilled chicken and served it up with big piles of rice and a little bit of what he called coleslaw. And that was sort of the birth of teriyaki. That was 1976. It got reviewed in the Seattle Times. People started lining up. He opened a second store. He eventually branched out and franchised all over the city, which is why you see so many things called Toshis that aren't necessarily related to him. And then the franchisees opened new shops, and they all sort of did a spin. So there was Toshios and Yoshis and all sorts of different takeoffs on that.
And you think there's something about teriyaki that captures a bit of Seattle?
I do. I think Seattle has a unique position in the U.S. in that it faces much more towards Asia than it does towards Europe or even along the southern border towards Mexico. And it has its own spirit. And I think that spirit, teriyaki, takes something that was truly Seattle but inspired by Asia and makes it our own. It's also something that fits in on the street in Seattle, or at least it did in the Seattle that we grew up in that it came from these small little hole in the walls in the neighborhoods. And in the way that Seattle is really a city of neighborhoods, everybody had their neighborhood teriyaki shop. And so I think that kind of all played in a little bit to making it a uniquely Seattle dish and the restaurant itself a uniquely Seattle construct.
You know, Naomi, I've got to take some of the blame here because honestly, I find teriyaki, I find the glaze too sweet. I find the chicken is not that interesting, but I won't cover up the mild flavor of salmon with that strong sauce, so I don't do teriyaki salmon. What am I missing? Because you seem to love it.
So, I mean, I think there's two pieces to that. And the first is there's a lot of bad teriyaki now. When I spoke with Toshi, this is one of the things he said, is that he goes out and he tastes what people are making and they haven't marinated the chicken and they've pre-cooked it and then they just throw it on the grill really quickly and serve it as the customer wants it. At his place up in Mill Creek that he's cooking at now, it takes a little while to get your food because they're making it when you order it. And I do think that that's some of it, is there's a lot of really bad, unsubtle teriyaki out there. And so people don't get it because that's what they try.
So I'm not just being disloyal to Seattle?
Not being disloyal to Seattle. I think the other thing is it's one of those things. People who grew up eating, you know, menudo or tripa alla romana love tripe. It is their comfort food. And if somebody tries it as an adult, they're probably going, really? This is what you want when you're missing home? And I think that to some extent, teriyaki is that for Seattleites. I think it tastes great. I think without some of that emotional attachment, it might, you know, be just fried chicken or something else that's good, but doesn't have sort of that emotional pull.
Is another reason Seattle isn't famous for teriyaki that outsiders seem to know us through award-winning chefs using fresh, locally sprouted ingredients, and they write beautiful cookbooks and have big, open, airy new restaurants?
I think that some of the allure of Seattle is that it is positioned on this gorgeous waterfront and you have these fresh seafood boats coming in, bringing in salmon and oysters and all of this gorgeous fresh food. And you have these amazing chefs. You have Tom Douglas, Ethan Stoll, you have Jason Stratton. You have these people doing amazing stuff with it. And I love that part of Seattle. I love all of Seattle, but what outsiders, what people moving here see is that. They don't move here and go, oh man, I can't wait to find the $5 teriyaki that's going to be next door to my house. But I think that they can both live side by side. I think that we have sort of a dual personality and everywhere does. The Philly cheesesteak, the Chicago dog, these places all have wonderful high-end chefs that you hear about. But somehow their underdog dish also gets talked about. And I think that it would not be inappropriate for teriyaki to take that place in Seattle.
Why do you root for this underdog dish? What would we lose if teriyaki kept on fading?
Well, we would lose teriyaki, which to me is very sad.
Well, there's never going to be zero teriyaki. But you seem to want it to have that Philly cheesesteak kind of status.
I think having grown up in Seattle, it holds that piece of my heart and that piece of old Seattle. It represents the Seattle I grew up in. And yeah, I think that part of it is that I feel that Seattle is changing, and I love the Seattle that I live in today as much as I love the one that I grew up in the 80s. But that would be a piece of the old Seattle I would be very sorry to see go. In the piece, I referenced The Kingdom and Kurt Cobain. And to me, it's a little bit like this is the last piece that's still here from 1980s Seattle. And it's a piece that we can hold on to. And also, it's a piece that tastes really good.
Naomi, what are we going to do to boost teriyaki?
We are going to eat teriyaki. It's a tough job.
especially at the not so tough in the restaurants that do it well.
That's
so
right.
We got to hold them to that standard, right?
That's
right. We got to eat it and critique it.
I think, you know, when you find a good teriyaki shop, talk about it. Tell your friends. Tweet about it. I think that we have to take teriyaki from being that thing that you eat when, oh my God, you can't find anything else and you got to find your meal with the money you found in your couch cushions, to something that we are telling our friends when we found something good.
Can it happen? Do you think teriyaki is going to rebound and be that Chicago deep dish Philly cheesesteak thing?
I hope so. I don't think it's impossible.
We are tweeting about it. That's food and travel writer Naomi Tomke. Her article on teriyaki appeared in Thrillist, and it's being tweeted at KUOW. She blogs at The Gastronome.